turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. The Apostle Paul, thankful for the manifold blessings of Almighty God upon the church, Rome, he expressed a great desire for that assembly. It's what we looked at last week in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God Almighty, who is the author of our grounded hope, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, hope is future. Faith is now. We have a hope that in that day, as Job says, with these eyes I'm going to see him. There's coming a time, Brother Scott, when you'll look on him. You'll see him. You'll look on him. And you'll know him. That's hope. Faith reveals our hope. Faith is the evidence. It's the substance. Things not seen. Faith. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, gifts of Almighty God. That hope that creates in the midst of despair. If I truly know that all things work together for good, if I know that He's loved me with an everlasting love, He gave His Son, Jehovah Father sent Jehovah Son, died for me, took my guilt. Will He not forever do me good? I like what you said. Since I heard the good news, I've never heard any bad news. Well, you know, you can settle down right there. My flesh wars against it, I know. God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you may abound in hope. That is, that you may long have a greater desire, that you abound, that you excel in hope, in that expectation. You know, we go through this life where we say that we know Him. And but Paul, who said, I know Him, said this, oh, that I might know Him. That I might know Him more. That I might know Him. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And how do we have this hope? How do we abound in this hope? Well, Paul says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Expectation in Christ. Life is but a vapor. For a moment, it is Almighty God that gives hope. Father, Son, and Spirit, God, in the glorious persons of His revelation of Himself. But He gives it through the Spirit of God. Well, having made that desire known, that Paul was praying of the God of hope. He says, in verse 14, he said, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also be full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Well, having made that prayer, that exhibition of that prayer unto God for them to abound in hope, he sets forth a desire for them. He says, I'm persuaded, my brethren. He set forth something concerning an attribute that he sees in them. It's an attribute of graciousness. He says, I'm persuaded of you, full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another. Paul said, basically, a believer is gracious in his expectation of others. Now, I'm telling you, I know that it's the easiest thing in the world to pick out the faults of others. And there's a nature in me, and listen well, if you want to see the flesh, if you want to see the old nature in me, just listen to what I say when it comes to picking out faults in others. If you want to see the old man speak, and I'm telling you, I'm good at it. I'm good at it. But the new man sees the best, sees the mercy of God. Paul said, I myself also am persuaded of you. I'm convinced. God has done something for you. And here's some confidence that he had. He says, number one, that you're full of goodness. That is kindness. Now, you think about this. God Almighty, who looked upon men and saw that how many were good? None. There is none good but God. Therefore, if there is any goodness seen in anybody, you just read it, I in them, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am persuaded that you're full of goodness. None good in any man born in Adam, but one born of God, one made a new creature. There is an exhibition of God's work that has been imparted. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, unto the works of God that are set forth as being the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's work. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do. The Lord said, and this never changes, He said, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. If there's any goodness seen, if anything that is right is honorable, if there's anything seen, it's God that worketh in you. What I want to be here this morning. What reason in the world? Would I truly have a heart to be here? Why? Why? Why would I be here? Because He has given me a heart that longs to be where He is, where He's manifested Himself. I want to be where He is. I want to be where His people are. I want to be where He's pleased to bless. By the grace of God, you'd have to drive me away from here. Marvin, why don't you go on down that other church over there? You go over there and you worship just as easy. No, I cannot. No, I cannot. No, sir. No, sir. Why don't you want to go down there? I don't want to. Why are you here? I want to be. It's God. And I'm so thankful. The Spirit of God that lives within God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ that lives in His people. God. He said, I'm persuaded that you're full of goodness. Look at this. Here's another exhibition. Grace that has been shown exhibits graciousness. When God has shown grace, that's what I named this, I think. Grace shown, graciousness revealed. When God shows grace to one, it just shows on them. It just comes out. Just there. How is it? Well, Paul says that you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. They'd been taught. And taught well. Instructed. Let me tell you, I've told you this before, that I'm able to be here is by the grace of God. But I'd long since heard of Katy Baptist Church. I've been hearing about Katy Baptist Church for years and years and years. And you know what I knew of Katy Baptist Church? It's what I knew. There was a pastor that God had raised up and God had blessed him. Not because he was worth anything, though I love him as much as I love myself. I guess that's the right thing to say, Scott. But I'm telling you, I also knew this. There was a well-taught people here. They were taught well. Wasn't any foolishness going on. Wasn't any frivolity. Weren't playing games. There were some people that God had settled. Filled with all knowledge, they'd been taught of God. God had blessed them. They'd received the knowledge of God through a pastor that God had sent. But they were acquainted with what had been preached by the Spirit of God. They were taught well. Not because of a man's ability, but because of man's being the ambassador of Christ, the means, the Spirit of God was pleased to teach them. And they were taught of God. Thirdly, they were able, Paul says, you're able to admonish one another. You're able to warn and to exhort one another with gentleness. Paul said, you're being filled with a knowledge of your own infirmities. He said, of your own dependency upon His mercy. You were able to counsel, to encourage, to sympathize with one another. Do you know why it's so easy for me to be honest with you about the way that I know you think, how frail you are, and how frivolously you think You know why I know so much about your frailties? Because that's the way I am. I know how you think. We all are frail creatures. We are but dust. Paul says, I'm persuaded of you, my brethren, that you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, verse 15, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of Christ. Paul was convinced that the believers at Rome were well acquainted with the truth of Christ. He knew that. They knew it. But there were some areas of their understanding that he felt it was necessary to speak to them on. I've written to you the more boldly unto you in some sort. What he's saying is there's some aspects concerning the truth that I want to instruct you on. Not wasn't fussing at them. He wasn't reprimanding them. He said, let me just speak to you by the revelation of the Spirit of God to him on some things that are needful. Do you know what the spirit of graciousness is? Whenever Paul said, he wasn't trying to be mean to them. He wanted to help them. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe at work or something like that? And let me tell you about the nature of man. There may be someone that you work with, I'm sure, that you're going to be able to relate to this. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody, one of your peers or somebody that works with you, and they're trying to say something to make you look stupid? They're trying to make you look silly. They're trying to elevate themselves in the boss's eyes or the other people. And they're trying to say something to you to make you look foolish. That was not what Paul was doing. He truly wanted to be a help to them. We are selfish people by nature, and we don't want to spill our guts to let somebody else know what we think we know. Because then we start looking at them, or other people will look at them as smart as we are. I can't tell you everything I know. Teachers are like that. Teachers. I'm talking about, not for myself, you know, teaching like art. I don't want to tell you everything I know, Gary, because see, then I, in my mind, you'll know as much as I do. In my stupidity, I have to kind of be just a little bit. This is not what Paul was doing. He truly wanted to be a help. He said, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you as putting you in mind. Why? Because of the grace that is given to me of Christ. He said, I'm telling you this because I am His ambassador. Because the Lord has sent me. Though we are frail creatures, God has been pleased to teach us some things. This brings me to our next reason of the exhibition of graciousness. Here it is. A believer is gracious because he represents the God of all grace. I do not stand here today as an elevated creature. We are fellow servants. You remember when John was speaking to the speaker, the angel. It's never told who he was speaking to there in the book of Revelation. And the speaker got through and John was going to kind of reverence it. I understand the thinking, you know, but the creature, the speaker said, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant like you are. We're together. We're brethren. It happens that God has laid upon me, it has been my lot is to prepare and preach. But if it be your lot, where Paul speaks in the book of Corinthians as the comely parts. Those that you think are not necessary. Let me tell you one. Let me tell you of a need that I have, that you might be a help to me. I'm going to, Lord willing, preach on this in the next few weeks concerning prayer. Prayer. Almighty God has been pleased to bless His people through the prayers of others for each other. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Paul, and it's in this book. It's in this book. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to preach that message, I don't think. But he says, look in verse 30. We're in Romans 15. Look in verse 30. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The other day, Brother Scott, I was talking to you about 3 or 4 days ago, and you made this statement, and you'll never know what the Spirit of God taught me. You said this. You said, I'll be praying for you. Let the Lord bless the message. I'll be praying for you. And you know what? I believed Him. Almighty God is pleased. I pray that God shows us this, that it's through the prayers of the saints for each other. It is to God Almighty that we pray, but we're praying for each other. I covet your prayers. Pray for me. And whenever you tell somebody, pray for me, you got something in your mind, tell them all that you can about what you want them to pray for. That's another thing. That's in verse 31 if you don't look at it. But I better get back to where I am. Verse 16 of this chapter. A believer is gracious because he represents the God of all grace. Grace shown, graciousness revealed. Look at verse 16. Paul says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul asking. He said, I want to share something with you. I want to share something in verse 13. I've written to you boldly. Put in your mind because of the grace of God. I want to teach you something that God has taught me. I want to be a help to you. I want to be an instructor. And I'm doing this because of the grace of God. He said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. The Jews were prejudiced people. But boy, we are too. We are too. Oh, God couldn't save one of them. You're one of those? Well, Jews thought that Gentiles were dogs. They're just beyond help. There's no. Paul said, I want to teach you something about graciousness, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul recognized it was by the grace of God that God had appointed him to that sacred office. And it is a sacred office because it's an office that he appointed. Paul wouldn't claim any honor for himself. He said, I'm the minister of Jesus Christ, the servant. The servant, bond servant. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. God speaks. God speaks. I've said before, these are not my words. If I ever stand here and start proclaiming my words, then it's not the gospel. It is my gospel. It's your gospel that believes. It's yours. But this is God's Word. If I speak of Him, I'll speak honorably concerning Christ, because that's who God has spoken of. He says, I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. That's how we minister. How are we ministering? Listen, all of these other areas that religion wants to minister in, well, we got a ministry to this, and we are ministers of Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of God, laboring in this sacred office. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You're God's building." Here's the building of God. Together, united. Believers. Chosen, called. Paul says that the offering up of the Gentiles should be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul, by the revelation of God, knew that the Lord had chosen those people, Gentiles, of which we are. He chose them out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Every time we read of the Jews, the Gentiles, every time we read Gentiles, be thankful. Because that's us. We are. All the Gentile nations represented within the bride. Paul refers to the offering up of the Gentiles, meaning their conversion. That's what he's talking about, offering them up. That by the quickening power of God, that they would be acceptable, being sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God. Paul actually saw the Gentiles who had been brought to a sense of their lost condition by the Spirit of God to be offerings, presenting their bodies living sacrifices, holy. You are, by the grace of God, offerings. You present yourself. You give of yourself. That's what I'm saying. What do you call it? This is what I desire. I give of myself. I come to Him. You say, well, that's what those free willers say. You come to Christ. No, uh-uh. Who said that? All that the Father giveth me. Because false religion has abused it and made it to be a work of self-righteousness, does not take away the truth of it. Let me tell you this. All that the Father giveth me, they cometh. You're coming right now. You're coming to Him right now. You've come to Him and you're coming to Him, and by the grace of God, you will come. You come. You hear. You desire. And then lastly, believers are gracious. They're gracious in their attitude of themselves. They're gracious toward each other. They're gracious because they desire to be a help. And then lastly, a believer is gracious toward the God of all grace. Verse 17, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should have an attitude. God forbid that I should think. God forbid that I should do anything that would draw any attention to myself. Glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid that we should glory, that we should have an opinion of anything above Him. God forbid that we should think of anything excel anything, give ourselves to anything above Him. God forbid. Paul said that the glory of God is my hope. The mercy of God, the person of God, the Savior of God. God Almighty, I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Not that He saw in me anything that was worthy. I am what I am by the grace of God. But if God has shown mercy to you, four things Paul said on graciousness that's revealed. Graciousness in your perception of others. Paul said, I'm convinced of you. I truly believe God's done something for you. Why? Full of goodness. Filled with knowledge. You're gracious as you admonish each other. You want to be a help to them. I want to teach us. I don't want to try to make you feel that you're not smart. I truly want to be a help. I want to be a help. If you have a question, I'll tell you this. First one I'm going to ask Brother Scott, and we'll talk about it. We'll look at the Scriptures. God, I'm serious. I do want to be helped. Thirdly, gracious because of the one that you represent. I seek wise counsel. That's what Scripture says. Seek wise counsel because I represent Him. Fourthly, gracious toward the God of all grace. Recognize that any hope that I have. What will I do? It's God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Graciousness that has been shown, grace of God that's been shown, exhibits itself in a spirit of graciousness. You're respectful. You're respectful to Almighty God, and you're respectful to those that God's raised up. You want to honor Him for Christ's sake. Gary, won't you come lead us in this closing?